Well, I have some illustrations and some thoughts tonight. And like any good illustration, there's always a breakdown as far as applying it. But I'm going to bring out some things that I know and things I've learned about trees and some application to our spiritual lives as well. If there's one thing that I've learned, it's that the tree itself is just an incredible display of an incredible creator. Probably the most knowledgeable tree doctor was Dr. Shigo, who died about 2 years ago. And what he could understand from a tree was just incredible. And I know you drive past trees every day and think, that's a tree. No big deal. But, you know, how a tree grows, how a tree reproduces, how a tree knows when to release carbon dioxide, when the little stomata cells close up, you know, the roots, the hair roots themselves, and the correlation between what we call mycorrhiza that's in the soil and the feeder roots, it's just incredible. And everything that he learned just showed him how much he didn't know about the tree. And for me, it just points to an incredible creator that understands, you know, we think of trees just being, oh, it's a tree. But there's such incredible knowledge in the design and creation of a tree. And we could spend the rest of our lives studying them and just barely scratch the surface. And it's just a tree, right? Let alone ourselves who are so wonderfully created. Well, as we think about trees, I want us to think about it in two aspects. The first being the roots and the second being the canopy. The unseen is the root, and that's the unseen of us in our everyday lives. What do the roots do? Well, we know the roots really have two major functions with the tree. The first is that it feeds the tree, and the second is that it anchors the tree. The tree is fed from the roots. So what's in the soil? As I've studied arboriculture, we study soils. We begin to ask, you know, what's in the soil? What chemicals are there? What minerals are there? What is feeding the tree? What's the soil composed of? What's the pH? High, low? What does lime do when you release it on the soil? What are the A, B, and C horizons in the soil? You know, if your building lot's been excavated and they've taken, you know, 5 feet of dirt and pushed off into a gully, and now you're sitting on a bunch of bare rock and try to plant a tree in there, you're not going to get much because all your topsoil has been taken off. Did they plant that tree in a bunch of construction debris like we often see at job sites? You know, there's a little bit of concrete in there and some brick, and there's, you know, an empty tube of caulk in the bottom of the tree hole, you know, and you're trying to grow trees and just stuff that's not soil anymore. You know, you can grow trees in Miracle-Gro jelly in a Petri dish. And they have these trees, and you can buy fruits and vegetables that have been grown in just water. It's kind of like a jelly mix stuff. But there's no anchor in that. And the same is true in our lives as Christians. You know, we can be fed in this jelly mixture, this really high concentrated stuff, and it puts in a lot of growth. But there's no real anchor there. There's no real anchor. Have we set our roots down to a bunch of junk? I mean, are we just being fed and what makes me feel good? Am I just being tickled every Sunday? Am I just going to church because, you know, it's what I'm supposed to do, and I don't want people to think I'm unstable because I don't go to church? Or is there something really there that we're feeding on? What's your soil like? What's the soil like you're setting your roots down into? Some of you may know the term root girdling. Some of you have probably bought some plants before, and they've been all these roots have been containerized. You know, these pots, these plants have been in this pot, and the roots are just all wrapped around the inside of the pot. They're root bound. Those roots will cross over one another, and as a tree grows, you can have girdling roots that will actually squeeze on the trunk of the tree or squeeze on other roots and squeeze them out. We see in the tree world, we see trees that are planted in small little concrete barriers or trees that have been they've used like this synthetic burlap, which is more like a plastic. I think the Bradford's out here along the road. If you dig down, you're going to see those were containerized, and they were transported in with this synthetic burlap in them. The burlap, synthetic burlap, is a plastic. It's still around those roots. Those trees have been girdled. The roots have not been able to develop. Had it been burlap, it would have broken down years ago. But this plastic, it's like carpet backing that they use for a while. They don't use it in arboriculture anymore because of that. But these girdling roots would restrict the trees, and you get real stunted growth. You know, there's a lot of things in our Christian life that stunts us. Some of those are outward conformity. We're girdled by what a Christian's supposed to look like. Well, you know, you come to church, you don't wear a tie. You're going to hell, brother. You know? Or you went to a movie? You know? And our hearts could be, way down the road, worshiping ourselves, and we could be following, doing all the right things on the outside, but our hearts could be far from God. So Bible translations, outward conformities, activities, all those could be things that girdle us. We must do these things. We must act this way in order to be righteous. I've also seen a lot of unbalanced root systems in trees. Trees that have been undermined at creeks. Trees have grown the side of a hill. Some tree roots that have been unbalanced because of construction. You know, they'll come in and put a sidewalk on one side of the tree, and then there's a road on the other side of the tree. And you know, they had to dig down and put a curb in and put sidewalks in, so you've got this, you know, huge oak tree sitting in this little bitty space between the sidewalk and the road, and the tree's unbalanced. We can be unbalanced in our lives as well. There's a lot of times we will focus on truth, and we're all about truth. We're all about proclaiming truth, but we do it with no grace. And we're you know, as sharp as can be, but there's no grace. And a Christian life is a walk between grace and truth, sharing the truth in love, but being graceful in the way we do it. We've seen a lot of root systems have been damaged from grading. You know, some of you have probably bought a house where they've tried to leave some trees, and they, you know, they put a really pretty yard all around your tree, and they, you know, they've scraped half the root system away. And there's a failure to thrive on the side that's been damaged. We get unbalanced because we could be way off board on some doctrines. Well, you know, if you don't believe these 5 points, brother, there's just no hope for you. And we become so unbalanced that when the storms of life come, we end up laying on our side someplace. And others are there to prop us up. We've seen a lot of smothered root systems. Trees that used to be out in the woods, and they put a house around it, and they put a foot of dirt on top of those roots. Or like, have you seen, I think it's part of the historic section of Winston-Salem down by, it's right off of Rinalda Road where Yadkinville Road butts into it there. You know, there was the shopping center that's the one that's decaying, you know, the one that Harris Teeter just moved out of. Right across the road, there used to be a big stand of trees in there. And the city attempted to return the land to the way it was originally. And they flooded that area. We watched those trees slowly die, slowly fall over, and so the lily pads come up. We've seen a lot of Christians who are smothered by the cares of life, smothered by activities, smothered by things that they just had to be part of, fishing. Kids had soccer games, kids had ball games, and they got, no, don't stay with me, Travis. But we've seen Christians who take on a lot of things in their lives and smother out their own root system. I've just got to do this. This is good for my kids. You know, they've got to learn these things. And they smother out their root system. They're covered up. There's the drought situations, things that are beyond our control. Those are God's control. The drought situations. During the first year or two of a drought, depending on the species and the age and maturity of a tree, you don't really see much going on. A couple years, you know, 2-3 years, we had a drought that broke here just a year or two ago. And we're about 4 years into a drought situation. We were starting to see a lot of trees fail. In the first year or two, we didn't see a lot of them. But then the longer it went on, the worse these trees started looking. You're going to see that a lot in California. That's the, prognosticate the death of the almond trees in California. As California is attempting to water the human beings there, they're giving less and less to the trees. The first year or two, yeah, they struggle a little bit. But a large woody plant, the tree, it will die as well. Long, prolonged drought, total failure. On the Christian side of it, how long has it been since we've really been immersed in God's Word? You know, if we can get by for a little bit, skipping, you know, kind of like, yeah, well, we were busy and we had things go on, so, you know, we just kind of slip away from our regular time in God's Word. And then before long, you know, a week or two turns into a month and we've developed a new habit. It only took 30 days to develop a new habit. We've developed a new habit of not spending much time, I mean, really digging into the Word. And, you know, of course, we got Sunday school and we've got church and Wednesday night and Sunday night and all those things. But we've really left our time in God's Word. And we're in year two of that drought now. And we begin to fail. We begin to fail. Root restrictions lead to canopy restrictions. You know, some of the oldest trees in the world are the ones you see growing on the side of a rock someplace. There's not a whole lot of root. There's very little fruit. There's very little branch, very little leaf on the side of those trees. You've probably all seen pictures, you know, just a crack in a rock. No soil at all. That tree is hanging on, you know. Tree may be 400 years old. You know, and there's some very old trees out there. You know, thousands of years old, 4,000 or 5,000 year old trees. And some of them look like Charlie Brown's Christmas tree. Just on a rock on the side of a mountain someplace. But they're old, old trees. No soil, very few roots, and very little to show for it on the top. Canopy and the roots, they're vitally connected. You can't have one without the other. You can't have a lot of roots, and there not be a lot that's the seen part of it. Neither is unnecessary, and neither is expendable. James 2:17 says, "So also faith by itself without works is dead." You can't say, I have a vital, growing, deep spiritual relationship with God, and you not care about anybody else. And you haven't been growing to look more like Christ. You can't grow without showing it. You can't grow without showing it. A root system without a functioning canopy is a dead stump. A root system without a growing canopy is a dead stump. And what do you do with stumps? Grind them out. Dig them out. Burn them out. So the canopy, what's the function of the canopy? The function of the canopy is it cools and shades the trunk. It also provides food for itself and others. And it provides shelter for itself and others. You know, a lot of large trees actually create their own microclimate. And you know that just because it's cooler under the shade of a tree. Middle of summer, hot day like today, take a walk in the woods. It's 10 degrees cooler out in the woods, isn't it? And that's just the incredible, you know, machine that God's created in a live tree. In a perfect world, the canopy is a reflection of the root system. In a world without storms, in a world without insects, in a world without fire or man. But, so the seeing part of it then is the canopy. That's what we see of others when they walk in here, when we see them out in the world. The canopy really reveals what's going on in the soil. You know, if we see a struggling canopy and we see no obvious sign that, you know, a tree's been broken over by a storm or struck by lightning, there's an issue going on with the soil. Just like Travis and would diagnose somebody, we can diagnose trees and say there's a soil problem here. This needs to be addressed. Either watering it too much, it needs some lime in it to begin to release some of the nutrients that are in the soil, or there's other issues. The canopy can be retarded by storms. Good storm comes through and breaks the top out of a tree. It can be retarded by pruning or even insects. We've seen tent worms come in and just defoliate a whole tree, even a whole forest. But with a good root system, they return very quickly. We have also seen Christians that have had some very, very difficult things take place in their lives. And with God's grace, we've seen their root system just return to leaves and return to fruit. And that it is an incredible joy to watch. Watch God restore. Watch God, through what He's grown into that Christian, and as that Christian is growing in God's Word, just comes back and says, "Praise the Lord. That was a terrible time, but God taught me so much." And that is a joy. But if there is no real root, we've seen many Christians just fall over, wither and die, moan and groan and complain about life. Some of you may know the term epicormic growth. Epicormic growth, anybody? How about water sprouts?
I just heard it.
Okay, good. Water sprouts, okay? Suckers, okay? Am I getting anywhere? Anybody? Yeah, okay, good. Suckers, economic growth. What is that? That's a real flush of growth that comes on, okay? There's little buds underneath the bark of a tree. And as the tree is exposed to sunlight, those buds can respond to that sunlight and they begin to grow. The growth that happens on those little buds, that growth is retarded by hormones. So when you top a tree, you kind of mess up its hormones. So if you think your teens, their hormones are all messed up, just try to give a tree a haircut and watch its hormones get all messed up. There's this understanding of called the atopical dominance. Okay, at the end of these shoots, at the end of the branches, there's a hormone there that controls the growth of the rest of the tree. Those hormones say, "I am where growth needs to go," and the tree understands it and responds, and it sends these signals. That's where growth happens. You go and you top a tree, you lose that atopical dominance, and now the tree's like all messed up. It says, "I don't know what to do." So any little epicormic sprout that's been exposed to sunlight wants to start growing. That growth is often a very quick, rapid growth. It's poorly attached. They are false limbs that come on the tree. And that epicormic growth is very often a sign of distress. Emerald ash borer is a huge problem in the Midwest. It was brought in from China. Emerald ash borer attacks trees and it's been killing. We're going to probably lose almost all of the ash trees in North America. One of the signs they use to spot emerald ash borer is epicormic growth, because the tree can no longer push enough of the sap to the limbs of the tree because of the emerald ash borer. So you see the sides of all these ash trees just flushing out with all this false growth. And, you know, we as Christians can have that flush of false growth as well. We can be very quick to put on airs. We can be very quick to claim our Christianity and to show, oh, I'm doing all these great things. But it's a real false growth. It's not like the real growth that God's asking us to do. We need to grow in proper growth. We need steady, regular, consistent growth in time in God's Word. And not these quick flash-in-the-pan growth periods. When canopy failure or tree failure occurs, we begin to examine the root system. Nothing happens without a reason. Trees just don't die for no reason at all. Was it feeding? Was it proper watering? What's the Christian been living on? What have we been living on? Why do people get cold? Why do they fall away? Why do folks just, you know, oh, that's just too much work? Why do we, you know, want our own way more than we want God's way? What have we been living on? What have we been feeding on? There's no magic formula in Christian growth, and there's no magic formula in the tree world either. And it's no surprise that some people cannot survive the storms of life because they're not grounded in God's Word. And there's been no consistent growth. If there's no growth in our lives, by growth I mean displaying the character and living out God's purpose, then there's something wrong with our root system. There's something wrong with the unseen part of our lives. And that's our time with God's Word. What are we living on? And what are we spending our time thinking about?